All right. Well, this is our last class of what?
This is the last quarter of the week. This is the last class.
Yeah, she doesn't know that yet, I guess. First Peter, however, we shall hear much about it ongoing because the Spirit of God has not let go. All right, so what I want to do tonight is I want to read to you a psalm. I'm going to just read a portion of that psalm to you, and I'm not going to tell you which one it is so that you don't sit there and stare at that and not listen, because I'd like for you to make a comment or two, whoever could. So this is going to be... maybe I won't even say which one until I'm done. Okay. So I want everyone to listen and just see what you think of this psalm. I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. I was dumb. I opened not my mouth because thou didst it. Remove thy stroke away from me. I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity. Selah. Any comments on what you just heard? Yeah, Scott? Oh, wait a minute. Maybe you should come up here. Sorry. We have a contender.
Basically talking about, you know, being silent when the evildoer comes and just that basically being in the corridor.
Okay. Kelly?
I like the approach of the person because he's, you know, it's like he's so aware of his corruption that he is almost pleading with the Lord. He's going to be consumed. He's the corruptible, and he so longs for the Lamb to finally manifest in that corridor situation. He's like, I need a bridle. I am corruptible. I am dust, but I'm crying out for your Spirit, and I'll bridle my mouth till the real Lamb brings me to that silence.
Okay. Anybody else? No? She's coming.
I heard that too, what Kelly shared. And I also heard the silence of Jesus. Like both are going on at the same time or continuity of it.
So. All righty then. All right, he begins this psalm, and I assume it's David, but maybe not, but probably since it is. Okay. You talked to him about it for sure? This is him? Yeah, I talked to David, and he told me. I wrote that. Psalm 39, and in verse 1, he begins by siding with God in the corridor, right? He's siding with God in the corridor. So I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. So very perfectly, the corridor of suffering. So very perfectly, recognizing that this is about how you handle it when you're in there, you know. And of course, obviously, he's talking about, I will not sin with my tongue, meaning I will not justify myself. I will not go to helpers and get them to help me. I will be with the Lord in the spirit that he wants, okay? And I will keep my mouth with a bridle, meaning I know how very important it is when in the quarter. This isn't all sufferings. This is the sufferings of Christ. How very important it is to not rail back, right? We know all these lines, especially from 1 Peter reading the book. I will not rail back. I will not accuse. I will not become an evildoer. I will not do what they're doing. Right? We get that in the first verse, okay? And he particularly says, I will not do this while the wicked is before me. Because then it is railing back. See that? Then it is railing back. All right. So he's aware of his ways that he needs to take heed to that. He wants to make sure, not that he doesn't sin, but particularly that he doesn't sin with his mouth. Okay? And then he reiterates that, with my tongue, and I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. Okay, so verse 2, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred within me. So in verse 2, you remember Jesus said that I was like a lamb before my shearers, as dumb. He didn't rail back. He didn't. And of course, 1 Peter confirms that over and over, that Jesus is the one who carried this spirit, and which spirit that we're supposed to have working in us, which is him in his nature and his way. And so there was the silence, and, you know, that's a big part of it. Because why? Well, because the evildoers are going to be accusing you falsely. They're going to be, let's just put it like this. If you could put Jesus right beside you, and you're on the cross with him, you're on the cross, but you're on the cross next to him, but you're on the cross with him, as it were, and they are accusing him, and they're mocking him, and they're saying all manner of stuff that wasn't true, and they brought in false witnesses, and they're doing all this stuff to him, that's the sufferings of Christ. And if there was another little group, or maybe the whole group is accusing him, and they're saying all manner of lies and all manner of stuff about you, about him, and then they're turning and saying the same thing about you, and then both of you and everything else, this is you being with him in his sufferings. A lot of people suffer because they use their mouth because they can't shut up. Excuse my French. Whatever that means. They're doing that because they just have to justify, or they just have to say, I'm not that way. You're that way. You know, you're accusing me, but I know this, this, and this about you, and it's way worse than me. And I'm going to convince all these people so that they'll take me down from this cross and they'll hang you up here because you deserve it. And they do. And they did with Jesus hanging on the cross. No question about it. But your purpose for being there isn't just to become righteous in the eyes of evildoers. God is able to touch the ones he wants that will stand with you or believe with you. But you'll always have friends or someone that believes the worst because, you know, I mean, some people believe everything that's written on the internet's true. And it's not. Boys and girls. It's not. And so, you know, so they put, so somebody puts a whole bunch of stuff about you on the internet. Well, I've got to, you know, I've got to have a rebuttal. I have to go on and prove and show what they were and prove that this wasn't the case and all of this and all that. And I've got to do it because the whole world will see that and believe it. Or you can just hold your tongue, be silent, be with the Lord, be with the Lord. And really, be with the Lord. It's one of the deepest kinds of fellowship you can have with him because he's a lamb and they are a lamb in spirit, if you will, because that's the nature of God and the way that God operates. And so, you know, as I've used before, you know, somebody will say, well, if you don't tell everybody the truth, then they're going to believe the one voice that they hear. Well, again, what I was about to say was that God has his way of touching the people that he wants to touch that will be with you, even if they can't say anything or do anything or whatever, that will ultimately believe not the worst, because somehow they know, well, the Lord, there's something of the Lord in that person. Okay. My experience has been that I've lost several friends that I moaned. I mean, I mourned and moaned over the loss of them because I thought we were really, 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 really close, only to find out that they were ready to believe the worst at the first sign of anything different. And it took me a long time to get over that. But then the Lord just told me, he says, well, you know, Randy, you thought they were your friend based on nice circumstances that had been set up. And you had assumed that that's the thing, you know, that that's the truth because there was a fairly long string of good times or something. He said, but they weren't your friend. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And if you're laying down your life and he's your friend, he'll lay down his life for you and for the Lord in that situation. What's it say? This is not a very good quote of it in Proverbs. It's better to dwell in the corner of a house where there is peace than out in the big house with all the evildoers. I'm pretty sure that's it. That's how that goes, you know. So, you know, how are you ever going to be confronted with that reality of God will have some, even if it's just a small group? It's better to be in a small group over here with peace than... how are you going to really, really understand that until you go through it? Really? No, you can hear this time and time again, and when you get in that, it just hurts. But a lot of the hurt was based on presumption of certain things. Lack of a full, you know, working of God in you to see the fullness of what's going on. But it's still true, and, you know, should you be, and you will. I mean, if God has actually released you into a situation where this is the fellowship of his sufferings, and you mess up somewhere along the line. Like, for example, the picture over here that we have. Okay? We have See, here's the corridor. Here's the beginning where you make the decision, and then you move into where the heat and the fire and all of that is, and then you move into the glory and you're done because Christ came forth in you like this sweet lady holding up the banner of the cross. Can you see it, folks? As opposed to this guy right here. Who has fallen to the dirt and the ground because it was too hot. Anyway, he'll get another chance. You believe that?
Yes.
You should. Because he will. So let's talk about what we're dealing with here. Sneaky, Pastor Randy. I'm not the pastor. Okay. I was dumb in silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. And my sorrow was stirred. At the end of verse 2, he begins to slide. He begins to falter. Okay. You say, well, Randy, have you ever faltered in the corridor? Are you crazy? Are you crazy? Yes, I have faltered many times. But the goodness of the Lord brought me through eventually. And it's one reason, you know, the fact that I've failed in the corridor is one reason why I am not so uptight about your condition. Seriously, it's one reason why I'm not so uptight about when you come and you say, oh my God, I failed. It's the end of the world. No, it ain't the end of the world, you know. Here, let me be your friend. You know what I'm saying? Because I know the goodness of the Lord. I know his heart. I know that the corridor isn't his punishment because you're evil. I know that your failure isn't because of you. Nobody goes even into that corridor unless there's some little seed, you know? It only takes a spark to get a fire burning. Anyway, you get it. And it's that little spark that the high priest walks in late at night into the holy place where the seven branch candlestick is burning, and he sees it flickering and about to go out, and he always, and he fans and he brings more oil and he brings it up from the low burn that it had. But the thing is, me telling you that isn't going to convince you, but you learning the heart of the Lord is going to convince you, because you're not perfect. My God, what is wrong with you people? You're not perfect, and you're never going to be perfect. And so, and then the other part is that the corridor is, you know, like fire, it is fire, and it, and you may, you know, you're going to feel all of that, and you're going to have thoughts, and you're going to have meditations that are drawn off from that. But every time, the Lord will use that a little more. I mean, even in this class, it's taken us forever to just start covering most of the bases. I mean, I was still learning the doctrinalization of it. And, you know, I knew I wasn't supposed to go talk to anybody, but I never saw in the Bible that it said don't go for helpers. I just knew, you know. I mean, I just knew this is not what he wants. He wants, and I didn't even know the name Adonai at the time. I just knew that the Father wanted His Son, and He wanted me to be with Him, that Son in me, so that I could be with the Father by the Son. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. It says in 1 John, isn't it? Methinks. All right. So the last part of verse 2 says, the first part is, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from the good. Okay, so that gets you, I'm sorry, I'm jumping over here again. But that gets you, am I there? A little further into the corridor. And it's good, isn't it? It's good. All right. But then the last part of that verse says, and my sorrow was stirred. Okay. Do you think that that's going to cause some problems? You better believe it's going to cause some problems. You know, there's different words that could be used within that word sorrow. Self-pity. Anybody ever experienced self-pity? Anybody living with self-pity? He opens his home to you. He says, come on, those bad people, that Randy, he never understands. Come in here and just cry on my shoulder. We'll cry together. Self-pity, your sorrows. They're your enemy if you listen to them. Okay, so, now listen to verse 3. My heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Okay, what caused his heart to get hot and upset within him? Musing, meditating on it. That's when he started getting angry and whatever was while meditating on the fire, not the Lord. You see it there? So, one of the probably most difficult things as you're working your way through the corridor, at least in my opinion, is to stop your soul and your mind from going back to what they did or what was wrong or what, you know. It's true. They are wrong, okay? They're evildoers, okay? They are wrong. They are falsely accusing you. They are using all sorts of means to reach as many people as they can to destroy you or da-da-da-da. That's all evil. It's all bad. But you've got to understand, if you're an evildoer, that's what you're paid for, to be evil. Okay? I hear some of you saying, well, I'm an evildoer and I don't get any money. And I would say to you, see, you are an evildoer. Anyway, so the word while is there. While my heart was hot within me, while I was musing about the words and the hurts and the fire. But the greatest thing you can learn there is that I was in there for the Lord. And I want the Lord. And I want to be with the Lord. And that there are plenty of verses in 1 Peter that prove that you can do that. So don't go into the, well, I'm not as spiritual as, you know, Sister Susie. She's so spiritual and I'm not, you know. You're considering yourself. You're comparing yourself with somebody else who's not in the corridor with you. No wonder they can do it. They know the Bible backwards and forwards. Let me tell you, you can know the Bible backwards and forwards and still drop out, if you will, like brother so-and-so falling off the mountain here. You can. Knowing the Bible is not the answer. Knowing the author is the answer. And so, you know, fixating on yourself, always, it's always going to draw you away. And so that's the deal. So we say, well, the thing I fixated on about myself drew me away. Yeah, it doesn't even matter what area you fixated on. It's the fact that you fixated on yourself. You say, well, how do I get away from that? Well, number one, you already know the answer then. You have to get fixated on the Lord. You say, do I have to become Superman? What? Remember that little drawing I drew for you, Deb, when we were in Bible school? Still in Bible school. In fact, really early. We certainly weren't married. And she was going through all this, you know, stuff. So I drew a picture of a cross. It was kind of a 3D angled one. And then a door at the bottom of that. And then this person flying out of it like Super Saint, I think I put over it or something like that. Yeah. And, you know, I went through the cross and yes! And the person's just like, yeah, you know? And that's what we think we're supposed to be like. But we're not. We're supposed to just hang on to Jesus. Supposed to abide in him. I said that to somebody. I said, are you abiding? He said, no, I'm for Trump. I don't know. I didn't catch it either. So, there is a grasp, but it's not you holding on with all your might. It is to grasp of God are you in Christ, who hath made him unto you wisdom, righteousness, something, and redemption. What is it? Sanctification. Sanctification. I don't know. All right. So that means that you're holding on to his hold on you. Because he did. But of God are you in Christ. Not but of you. And then you can be in Christ and not go ahead and accept that he's made unto you wisdom and righteousness and redemption and sanctification and all that kind of stuff. You can be in there with it and go, well, you know, how do I get that? Well, you've got it already. You're in Christ and that's where it is. And he is that. He's that. So if you just hold on to him and you're going, I'm holding on to you because you have grasped me. You have held on to me. I mean, our view of it is like a, if you were going to graft in a branch into a vine or a tree, I've seen it done. And, you know, your grasp of it is that you know, they're going to open the place in the tree and spread it apart and stick you in and step back and, you know, you're now in and you go plop. You go, well, what in this work for me? Well, first of all, he didn't say, you know, the moment I do that, you're going to be grafted. The grafting is that he's going to start taking over. The question to be asked is there any place within you, little branch, that Jesus has taken over? Anything? You say, well, just this little bitty. Okay, that'll keep you from going plop. Except your mind. Your mind is a plopper. What? Yeah, your mind is a plopper and a flopper. So stop plopping and flopping. What? Yeah, well, I don't need to hear too much from y'all. I choose to cut it off now. All right. I need to get moving here. Okay, so so what happens then when he starts meditating? Then spake I with my tongue. That's it. You've already messed up now in relationship to the cord. You've already messed up. Because throughout 1 Peter, you cannot get away from the fact of that being the huge issue. Isaiah 53, you can't get away from the fact of that being an issue. Now, again, you know, am I looking at money over here? What am I looking at hanging off this? Okay, good. I think they're offering me money to continue this class. No. Okay, so then spake I with my tongue. Oh, no, 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 don't do it, don't do it. He was as a sheep is, you know, before his shearers, dumb. And I opened not my mouth. So what happens then? He speaks and he says this, and now, Lord, what wait I for? Well, that's a good question. Once you spoke, you broke the whole chain there. What wait I for? Now, can you even speak, recognize it, and get back on the horse? Yes, you can. You can. But if you've already meditated wrong, right? Admit it. If you've already meditated wrong, then you spoke. Okay, so you're starting to stack the deck against yourself. If you throw on the brakes and just say, you know what, Lord, forgive me for all that. I just want to be with you. You think he's going to go, no, you can't do it because you're a bad person compared to Randy. I promise you he'll not say that. I promise you he'll never say that. What happens then? Okay, so, and now, Lord, what wait I for? All right. So what happens is he begins to lose hope now. Yes. Oh, I am sorry. I am jumping to verse 7 now. Thank you. Verse 7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? What happens when he gives in? He loses hope. He messed it up, so where will he find hope? Okay, well, the next part of that verse, my hope is in thee. But here's the bad thing about this psalm is he's looking now for the Lord to be like a helper to get you out of it or fix your mess up. You got to stay focused. Even if your focus drifts, get back on, you know. All right, verse 8, still this psalm. Deliver me from my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. See, anybody see a problem there? Self-focused. Deliver me from how I messed up when I spoke. Okay, yes, true, but make me not the reproach of the foolish? Yeah, see, now you're focused, so focused on yourself that you're, even if you're, part of your prayer sounds right, it's not right. Okay? And so in verse 9, I was dumb, I opened not my mouth because thou didst. You did it. So he's referring to what he was, but no longer is that. Because you just spoke, buddy. You know, I was dumb, but I'm not now. Now I'm stupid. if that offends you, JW made me say it. So then verse 10, remove thy stroke away from me. Yeah. The problem now is not the evildoers. It's not the evildoers because when he spoke, he just became one. Right? Doing the same thing. They open their mouth. That's the whole deal. First Peter, they're particularly the mouth, whether it's the mouth speaking, or because back then when this was written, they didn't have typewriters, they didn't have internet, but that's all still speaking. I'm consumed by the blow of thine hand. Okay, so his hand is the evildoers, but he is destroyed by what should have brought him into fellowship. Okay, so when you're in that quarter, God has one, he's got Adonai. And Adonai has one purpose at all, and that is to do everything he can to keep you lined up in spirit and in mouth with the Lamb that you're desiring to fellowship with. So, you know, but the evildoers also are his hand. See, I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. You shouldn't be consumed by that. You should be in fellowship. You should be in fellowship. Okay, verse 11. When thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. All right, so there you have it. God is now having to correct him over leaving his son, over letting his mind go to his self, of letting his soul rule over his spirit and the Christ that is within him. And he sees it. Verse 11, still focused on himself and failure. Okay. So when it comes to failure, whether it's the corridor or, you know, going down the street and somebody says you want a joint or I don't know, or whatever. When it comes to failure, you know, most of you have been around me for a long time, have heard my little conclusion to that, and it's still true, and that is, when you were learning to ride a bicycle and you fell over, then get up, dust yourself off, and get back on. Even if you have tears going down your face, get back on, because it's a matter of balance, and you'll learn the balance of the Lord. You'll learn, which is usually the problem with some of these failures. You don't know the balance of the Lord yet. It's like riding a bicycle, and you keep leaning this way, and you go, okay, I'm not going to lean that way anymore, and you lean this way. Ah! You know, it's just this, it's a thing of balance. It takes a while. You know, somebody says, once you learn, you never forget. Well, once you learn this, by balance, not by teaching, you'll never forget. You won't. You'll never forget. You'll get it in you. But you got to get back on, because the balance doesn't just come by one fall. Oh, I got it now. You know, you get back on, dust yourself. I always say dust yourself off, because get rid of the residue of the failure. And get back on and say, the Lord is my bicyclist. I shall not want. He maketh me ride into green pastures. Oops, poop, cow poop. Sorry. All right. Yes, it's me. I do like this part when he says, when thou with rebukes dost correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like the moth. How does the moth consume away? You, back then, you set a torch there, and he's drawn to the light, and then he's just, the fire got him. Amen? But you're not a moth. You're a member of his body, and you have his life in you. Whether you can draw from it right now or not is not the issue. It's not the issue. What's the issue is you have his life. If you keep your focus constantly, whether it's daily stuff or corridor stuff, if you keep your eyes on, well, I have his life in me. But you know, when you say that, then someone says, well, it doesn't feel like it. Stop going by your feelings. You know? Stop going by your feelings. He's in there. Well, he's not doing a very good job on the bicycle. All right, so then he says, surely every man is vanity, Selah. Well, surely that's right. All of that for nothing up to this point, but it's not for nothing if you get back up. Okay? And I wrote, now he recognizes that no progress has come, .. yet. Can you believe in yet?
Yes.
All right. So, still got a few minutes here. I want to do a comparison now in, let's see. Well, let me just read 1 Peter 2:23, and then I'm going to go to Luke 23:45, and we'll read that together. So you can go to Luke 23:45 while I read 1 Peter 2:23. Now we're going to compare this with Jesus, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. All right. Now that sounds all very spiritual and everything, but that's why we need to go to Luke 23, because that's the cross. And try doing that when everybody's falsely accusing the Son of God as if he's a criminal and a heretic. All right. Luke 23, verse 4, starting with verse 45, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having thus said, he gave up the ghost. Okay. So number one, Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he is what? He is not passive. You need to understand that. You're not supposed to be passive in this. This is not a passive thing. When you're in the corridor, you have to be active, not passive. All right? He was in someone's hands whom he trusted. Okay? That's going to be necessary to get all the way through. Okay? But in the natural, he was in the hands of unjust men. Right? Yes, he was. He was. But in the spiritual, he's in the hands of the Father. Because why? Because he commended himself there. It didn't just happen. He commended himself. That's important. And 1 Peter validates that in several different places in the book. Okay? And then I put, but in truth, above that, the hands of the Father. Father, into your hands. Well, his hands, throughout what we've studied, could be the evildoers. He allows them to do what they're going to do. But he's commended his spirit, not his soul. His spirit's with the Father. And he commit. I submit to this. I will go through this and be with you. I will see what you went through. I will see the hurts that you had. I will see the indignation and shame. I will see, you know, I will cherish the old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Well, I will cherish that not far away 2,000 years ago. but by being with you in that spirit. Let's see. I can go just a few more minutes here. 1 Peter 4:14 says this, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you." Okay, so there is an understanding that something happens. Maybe I can get you a Carol over here. Something happens over here. By golly. Go back to the... Something happens in here that is above, above. It is above just being with the Lord. Okay, I'm going to be with the Lord. This is going to be a nightmare, but I'm going to be with the Lord. No, you probably won't. No, you probably won't. In fact, you won't. But anyway, thanks, Peter, before 1 Peter, but we don't want to hear from you. It will be the Spirit of glory. How'd that word go? Happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth on you. All right? So, this lady has done so good in here. But part of the reality is, that it's in the fire that he starts taking over by that Spirit. And then when he does, you end up in the glory version, but see, she's ambidextrous. Right hand, left hand, she can hold that cross. The flames begin to go down, even though in truth, it's still burning hot out there. The flames go down in you because the Spirit of glory, the Spirit that is of God, that Spirit, the of Spirit of glory and of God, that Spirit that is of God between the three of them, and the care and the love and the honor, you're honoring them on the highest level, a God level, meaning a giving to whatever cost and still glorifying the others. It's indescribable. I keep getting to this place and going, you know, there's nothing I can tell you that can explain that. There's nothing I can tell you I can just tell you, you know, it's like, wait for it. But wait in the right spirit. Wait for it. And this is part of the hope. It's even called a hope. And it's what God, it is the highest thing to him, because God is extremely selfless. The Father to the Son to the Father, the Holy Spirit to the Son to the Holy Spirit. All that movement of God. It's not Jesus will root you in, you know, woohoo, come on, or the Father will in that sense. It's God, the Spirit of God captures you and pulls you in to that nature. You're not God. It's still him in you and on you. And then, we'll end with this. I'm reading 1 Peter 4:14. And then the ending of that is, on their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Okay. So they will look at you like they looked at Jesus, and they will accuse you, and they will do everything they can to, you know, ruin you and to out you and to destroy you and to break you down. He is evil spoken of on their part, but on your part, he is glorified. I wrote, I know I need to stop. My notes go on forever. Y'all do know that. How can you be happy when evil is spoken of? We want happy when they are dealt with. This says, if you be reproached, happy are you. Not if they finally get their deal. You know, and I will end with this, and I'll shut this so that I don't look down and go, oh, there's more. You know, that I truly, with all my heart, believe that this is a pinnacle of what God wants to bring every one of us into. It is the fulfillment of what God, the first words God said about man, let us make man in our own image after our likeness. That was God's image, not Jesus' image or the Father's image or the Holy Spirit. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And how do we comprehend that? Because, you know, very shortly after he said that, Adam and Eve's going to eat and listen to the devil and be fallen nature and all that. How can we even comprehend that? But the comprehension of that is when you understand what God is like, that this would actually be the closest thing to the image of God. This will be it. Yeah, it starts by the image of Christ, which was a lamb. Amen? But it's so much higher in relationship to this is God. This is how they are. And this is entering in to allowing that spirit to truly, truly join with them in the deepest trial in an effort to be with them. The sweetest honey is the most contested honey. It's honey from the rock, and to get up there on that rock face and dig in and get that honey, bees are going to be all over you, and they're going to be stinging and everything else. But and you know, the scriptures talk about this, honey from the rock, but you get it down, you know. What did it do to Jonathan? You know, enlightened his eyes. Father, we thank you for your incredible, incredible honor that you would allow us to be with you. Father, I pray for our people that, and all who would ever listen to this in the future, that you would graciously allow your spirit to rest upon these teachings as well as, of course, as it is in your word. For what purpose? To glorify me or the fact that I taught it? No, Father, but so that there would be others who would see it, really see it and say, oh, I want to be with the Lord. I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. They would understand those words. Fellowship, the highest form. Father, that you may gain more in your image and your purpose when you first created man with one thing on your heart, wasn't that we would be blessed or build cities or any of that stuff. One thing, that we would be made in the image of God. So, Father, we ask you to continue to deal and move in ways that open our heart and open our eyes. And we ask it, not in our name, not in our righteousness, but in the name of Jesus, who has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In Jesus' name, amen.